Good afternoon. We are so, so happy to be here, and we are glad for you joining us. This program is made by those who listen to it. We are called Let the Bible Speak, and that's exactly what we attempt to do. We try to match your Bible questions with an answer that's found in the Bible. And so if you've been listening to this program over a period of time, then you understand that and appreciate that. For those who may be tuning in for the very first time, we want to welcome you and invite you to participate in the program. You can call us at any time with a question that you might have about a Bible passage. That number is 614-4161. Now, if you've been a long-time listener to the program, you know that number is not a familiar one. We've used it the last couple of weeks due to phone problems here at the station. But that number, again, is 614-4161. You can also text us a question, and that number is 725-9283. 725-9283. So we invite you to participate in any way that you choose. You can also call the station, that 614-4161 number, if you would like to go on air with us and ask your question. So we're trying to provide as many opportunities as possible for you to participate in this exchange of a question and answer type format. It's a live program. We are here at this very moment at 1:34, according to the clock here in the room. And so we invite you to learn with us and seek God's word with us, and we can find together the answers that God has to all of our questions, questions that pertain to things that have to do with life and godliness. And so we want you to take advantage of this opportunity for the next 90 minutes. You can call and participate and have a Bible study with us on this Sunday afternoon on the air. We also will be talking about a Bible correspondence course throughout this program, and we invite you to seriously consider participating in that. That is such a wonderful opportunity for you to study the Bible on your own. And so you'll hear this number throughout the program, 553-5157. And again, we want you to think seriously about this opportunity to study the Bible and read it for yourself. That is such a great, great thing to do. So we invite you to participate with us, encourage that, and we look forward to the next 90 minutes of a good spiritual feast.
Go ahead and call right now then. That number again is 614-4161. That's 614-4161. If the line is busy, we encourage you to just call back. This line is does not have multiple lines, and so you may get a big busy signal. We encourage you to just call back. Again, that number is 614-4161. We will do our best, as always, to simply let the Bible speak. Now, if you so choose, you can text us. Our text line is still available for you, so you can text in your question. That text number is 725-9283. Again, that's 725-9283. And as always, our hope and our prayer is that you would not hear us, but you would hear the Word of God, that you would hear God's truth, and that that would have an impact on you. So much so that you would want to study, and you would spend more time wanting to study to learn more about the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, this is a live call-in radio broadcast where you call in with your question, and we go to God's Word for the answer. That number here at the station is 614-4161. That's 614-4161. So go ahead and call with your question. We also have a website that you can go to. It's www.biblealone.com. www.biblealone.com. And there are tons of resources on that site available to you. For example, we have previously recorded broadcasts up there. So if you want to go and to listen to any previous broadcasts, you can. And you can download that information if you so choose to. We also have other materials that touch on sometimes some touchy subjects. And if you have a question about some of these touchy subjects, things like marriage, things like tithing, that information is on our website, and you can go and you can look at some of that material, and you can study at your own pace with the Bible, making sure that the things that we're saying on this broadcast, the things that you read in that lesson, make sure those things are so. And thus, we encourage you that no matter who you're listening to, whether it is your preacher in the pulpit, or whether it is your mother or daddy at home, or it's us on the radio, or anything that you would consider to be coming from God, we encourage you to check it out. Make sure that the things that are being said or told to you are in fact true. There's a passage in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you don't want to put your faith in men. You want to put your faith in the one true and living God and the word that he has provided to serve his truth. In John, the 17th chapter and verse 17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. And so God's word is truth. And that's what we hope to give you this afternoon. And anytime you're listening to anyone, go to the book and check it out. Make sure it's true. So go ahead and call us right now, 614-4161.
And realizing that thy word is truth, knowing that word, applying that word to our lives is so, so important. You can know a lot of stuff, but if you're not doing a lot of stuff, it won't affect you in a positive way. James tells us, do not be hearers of the word, but doers. Not by hearers only, but doers of the word. And so one of the applications of knowing the truth, as seen in John 4, verses 23 and 24, when Jesus tells the woman in Samaria that they should worship in spirit and in truth. That is, we need to know what the Bible says in order to worship God in truth. And that's a very, very important thing to consider in this day and age, when a lot of different teachings are floating around and people are really confused in what the Bible says. They know what the preacher says. They know what their church teaches. But when they are asked about where does the Bible say that, then they really don't know. And that is not a comfortable position to be in. And you want to know what the Word of God teaches, because we're all going to face judgment where we will be held accountable for the things that we've done in our body, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says. And so we all need to be prepared for that. And another thing we want to convey on this, that not only are we concerned about specific points of teaching, because when you talk about the Bible, you of necessity have to say, well, what specifically does that say? What does that teach? We just can't generalize things about the Bible, because the Bible says things that are very pointed. But we also want to convey the idea that we need to be like Jesus. That is in our character. In verse 12 of Colossians 3, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And prior to that, it talked about putting on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so there's a complete package when you seek to know the truth. There is what the truth says you ought to do, and then there's what the truth says you ought to be. And we need to have both of those. And so as we answer questions from time to time, from week to week, we're just not interested in, okay, what does the Bible say about this particular point? We also want to convey the idea that we need to be like our Savior. We need to be a servant. We need to be a person who's interested in others. So please take advantage of this time right now to maybe write down your questions on a piece of paper and get ready to call the here at the station. That number is 614-4161. And the text line is 725-9283. So please take advantage of this opportunity now. The lines are open, and we are anticipating your Bible questions so that we can all turn to the Bible together and see what the Bible says.
I appreciate so much what Steve was saying. It got me thinking about this idea of the change that God is looking for in the lives of those who are professing that they're following him. God expects a real change. I tell people that so often we hear the phrase, come as you are. Well, certainly God will tell you to come as you are, but it does require change. You know, you come as you are, now change. You know, come as you are and believe. Come as you are and obey. You know, come as you are and be baptized into Christ. Come as you are, now put away all the things that you once was. So certainly God is saying come, but he does not want you as you are. He's going to want you to change. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 certainly talks about this idea of change by saying, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Metamorphosis is the Greek word there. Curious with the idea of metamorphosis. It's like going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And that's the kind of change that God is looking for in those that would profess to be his. And so if I'm listening to this program with the intent of staying the way I am, there's a problem. There should not be a day that goes by where I'm not trying to become better in my service to God, where I'm not trying to learn more about him and about his will and about his ways, where I'm not trying to put off the things I'm supposed to and putting on the things that I'm supposed to and then putting away those things, that those bad habits that have kind of lingered. I put those things away, all to the glory of God. If you have a question this day, that is, if it's about this idea of change, if it's about something that you've heard today in your worship service, if it's something that your mom and dad have taught you and you wonder whether or not it's true, we encourage you to go ahead and call in your question. That number again is 614-4161, 614-4161, or you can text your question to 725-9283. We're about to take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your question, 614-4161. We're going to tell you about a Bible study you can do in your home. We want to encourage you to take advantage of that, so listen closely. We'll be right back. Again, the number today to call in your question is 614-4161. Do not try to use the 308-9564 number. It will ring here at the station, but we're not able to pick it up, and so we want to encourage you to make sure you're not using the 308-9564 number, but rather use the 614-4161 number. That's 614-4161, and we will do our best to answer that in a timely manner. Again, it does not have multiple lines, so it only has one line, and if someone is on that line and you may get a busy signal, we're encouraging you just to call back. One of the things you can try is you can try 614-4161, or you can try 614-4162, because that's another line that you can get to the radio station on. So you can call in that way, or just feel free to text us. Our text line is available to you as always, and that number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We want to encourage our listeners, for those of you who may be just joining, that you are listening to a live call-in radio broadcast where you set the tone of the broadcast by calling in your question. And we will do our best to let the Bible speak. So go ahead and call right now, 614-4161.
We have a question left over, Nick, from last week. Kim had this question in, and it's a question that was kind of focused on the events of last Sunday. And her question was, or him, I'm not sure which it is Father's Day a pagan holiday? Well, I had a question like that earlier this week about is Father's Day. They asked me what I believe about Father's Day, and I said, well, you know, if you're thinking about, a church worship service, that's not necessarily talked about in the scriptures. As far as a legal, traditional holiday to remember fathers like they remember mothers, and then there's a Grandparents' Day now, I believe. The Bible principles do suggest that we honor our father and mother. That's what Ephesians 6 and verse 2 says. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And so it goes on to say that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so it's appropriate and proper to honor your father. And like all holidays, the downside of a holiday is that we take one day out of the entire year, and we're going to send dad a bunch of cards and send him a bunch of tithes, and then we'll forget about him, you know, the rest of the day, or mom or whoever else, you know, we tend to honor for a day. The scriptures don't limit that to a day, and certainly not a pagan holiday. Man has initiated it, of course, but not to honor any pagan god, but it is simply to the purposes of honoring dads. And so that's a good thing to do. The Bible says that we should need to honor our dads, but not just one day a week. So appreciate that question, Kim, and we are grateful for all the people who send in questions and texting them in and have an interest in the Bible. And this program is for you. I mean, if you are interested in the scriptures or if you are interested in spiritual things, man, how many radio programs are there on the air that are dedicated to people who want to know more about God's Word? Not many. In fact, I think we'd be the only one that is actually reaching out to the community, eliciting responses from you, questions from you, seeking to encourage you to read and understand the Bible. Now, that's the kind of encouragement that we all could use. And so we invite you to participate in this wonderful opportunity to gain insight and knowledge into the scriptures. And we oftentimes are, you know, stumped a little bit by your questions, and we have to go study, and we appreciate that because that helps us grow. So call that number, the new number we've been having, 614-4161, or you can text us at 725-9283. And if you, you know, would just be interested in some Bible material, go to the website that Nick talked about, BibleAlone.com. And if you have friends of yours that you'd like to tell about the program, you think this is something they could benefit from, then on our website you can click on live stream and listen to it anywhere in the world. And so that is a great, great blessing that technology gives us. And so we ask you to invite you to take advantage of that opportunity as well. So all kinds of things that we are offering to help encourage people to read and study the Word of God, because that's what we're all going to be held accountable to and by and judged by. And so if you know the Word of God now, and if you're trying to live it now, then you are preparing for judgment. And that's a great blessing. How many people out there, boy, just, you know, are clueless about facing the Lord in judgment? That's a reality. That's going to happen. He will come again someday. And will we be ready? Well, we can, if you take advantage of the opportunity now to get a Bible correspondence course, start studying the Bible. It may be that you've got some real pointed questions. You'd like to sit down and talk with somebody. We'd love to do that with you. And just give us a call and leave a message with that 553-5157 number, and we will get back in touch with you, and we will get together and study God's Word side by side. And so, please, these are opportunities that don't come every day, every week, if the Lord permits. And so we invite you to take advantage of these opportunities as we are here today for till 3 o'clock. So please give us a call and give us a ring. Nick?
Again, the number here at the station is 614-4161, 614-4161. Or you can text in your question at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. When Steve was talking about the question concerning Father's Day, I kept thinking about a time recently where a child was talking, and someone asked her what was she getting her mom for Mother's Day or her father for Father's Day, something of that nature. And she says, well, she says, I'm not sure, but I know what I want for my day. And so she was thinking that there was going to be a Children's Day. So it was kind of fascinating, that, you know, the way that the young mind thinks. But going back to Steve's point, what we can understand from the scriptures is that the day to provide honor to our parents, that should be all the time. The day to provide or to cherish our children, to make sure we're bringing them up, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that should be every day. And what's interesting about Ephesians 6, in those first couple of verses there, You know, God talks he's talking to the fathers, and he's telling those fathers to make sure you bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You want to honor God, dads out there, you want to honor God, then make sure you're doing what God says. And that has a lot to do with what you do in your home. Are you loving your wife like Jesus loved the church? And are you raising your children or bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And giving God the glory for all the things that's good in your lives, making sure your children know that it's not because of you, but because of God, that things are going as well as they are, that they have food to eat and water to drink. Giving God the glory should be our motivation in all things. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161, 614-4161, or you can text in your question at 725-9283, 725-9283. We have several questions that have come in recently. The first one is a text question I have here. It says, now, what's the reason for reoccurring miscarriage according to the Bible? And so when we look at the scriptures, we see there were some of the ladies of yesteryear who would, in fact, have miscarriages. But the Bible doesn't seem to give an answer. So what I'm going to have to do is kind of have to look around and search the scriptures a little bit to see if there's a reason given. I can't remember if there's a reason given or not, but I will search that out perhaps during the break to see if there is a reason given. But we do see that occurring. What is helpful to us, I think, is this idea that once a baby is in the womb, that baby is a baby. It's real. Living soul, and if that baby doesn't make it, you know, that's a terrible, terrible thing. But the positive side of that is that that baby is going to be in heaven with the Father, and I think that's a positive, positive thing to think about. That child, your child, is in heaven, or was going to be in heaven, is in heaven with the Father. I think that's a positive thing. When we look at this life. And, you know, I have children myself, and I know how difficult it is or can be to raise teenagers in a world like this, where, you know, much as I appreciate the public school system, what I'm challenged by is the environment where your children are influenced to do perhaps things that they should not do. And that's the war that many of us as parents were fighting. And we're hoping that they make it through school, and we're hoping that they make it through college, and we're hoping that they make it through life, connected back to God, so that they serve God and they could be in heaven. You see, the positive side, unfortunately, of a miscarriage is that your children or your children don't have to go through all that. And they are connected back to God.
I think that's an excellent point, Nick, and I hope that's encouraging to folks. Joy and I had a couple, well, she had several miscarriages before we had our first daughter, and then we did have a child that died the next day. And so, I feel for people who have gone through that. I know it was very traumatic for my wife because that's something you look forward to. And I remember when our last child died, I did the funeral. I just felt like no one else should do that except me. And so one of the passages I talked about was 2 Samuel 11, where David, his child that he had with Bathsheba, died. And so he was, mourning and fasting and praying and all of that before, while the child was ill. And so in 2 Samuel 11 records that David's men were, of course, obviously understanding why he was doing that. And so, chapter 12, I'm sorry, I think I said chapter 11. And so the child dies, and then David, of course, gets up and he washes and he changes clothes and goes into his house, and this is like verse 20 of 2 Samuel 12. So David arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. And then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, and when the child died, you rose and ate food." And he said, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me that the child may live, but now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. And that provides great motivation, you know, for the parent that I didn't get to see my child. I didn't get to see him grow up. But you go see him again if you live right and you get your life right with God and allow yourself to be blessed by his grace and mercy by obeying the gospel. That is a great, great motivation for faithfulness. So we're up against a break here, and we're going to now have another listen to an encouragement about the Bible Correspondence Course. So if you haven't already written this number down, go ahead and do it now, 553-5157. And listen carefully to the man who will be talking about this Bible Correspondence Course and think about what he is saying and how important this could be to you and what a blessing it could be to your spiritual life. We will be right back. I hope you've enjoyed listening to that little enticement, if I can say that, to taking that Bible Correspondence Course. It is free. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. What better thing could you do with your time than to read the Word of God? And so we trust that that will kind of swirl around in your mind throughout this program, and you will then take advantage of that. If you would like to call in a question to the program, you can do so by calling 614-4161. 614-4161. Now, that's kind of a different number than we usually give out. It's been the one we've been using for the last couple of weeks. So don't call the 308-9564 number because we won't be able to listen to your question. And given that aspect of the having difficulty with the phone lines, you may prefer to text in. And you can do that at 725-9283. And there'll be no waiting. You won't get any busy signal. You can just text as many questions as you like. But the 614-4161 number can only take one at a time. So if you do call that number, then just beware if it's busy. You know, just call back and that will you'll eventually get in. The lines are open presently. And so we hope that you take the advantage and the opportunity to do that. One of the things that we were talking about with the miscarriage aspect was, and we're still looking for passages that talked about a miscarriage, and we're having trouble finding one. But as far as the reason, which I think maybe was the major part of that question, the reason why one has a miscarriage, I don't know if the Bible says that there is a reason for suffering. That is the common understanding that, you know, I did something, I'm suffering, God's getting back at me, I did something wrong. And while it's true that sin does have its consequences, you're going to drink alcohol like crazy, you're probably going to end up with some severe diseases because of that. If you have fornication and promiscuous kind of lifestyle, yes, you're probably going to get an STD. You're probably going to pick up some diseases. You cannot flaunt the physical or spiritual laws and expect to come out clean from that. And so that's an important consideration to make. But having said that, it is not a biblical concept that every time I suffer, it is because I have done something wrong. And so that's an important thing to think about. If you think about what happened in John chapter 9 with a man who was born blind. Now, that's a situation that people think, well, somebody messed up big time. And that's what the apostles confronted Jesus with about the man who was born blind. In fact, they just asked him, well, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he would be born blind. Again, this is in John chapter 9. It starts in verse 1. And so Jesus' answer is in verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus says the sin that was committed by the parent or the man is not the reason why he was blind. And so that's important for us to appreciate in this discussion about why did it happen. Sometimes we have no idea. I know with our situation, it was because of hormone levels that just could not carry the child to term. And so, you never know for sure why those things happen. But we shouldn't automatically conclude that God is somehow getting back at me for doing something. So hopefully that will be of some help to you. If you would, again, like to have a question answered, you've got something that's bothering you, something on your mind, something you're just curious about, or something that maybe you've talked about with somebody at work, and they've been talking about, you know, what God said or what Jesus said and what we ought to do to this and what we ought to do for that. But nobody gave you a Bible verse, and you're just kind of curious, where does the Bible say that? I mean, we get those kind of questions throughout the days on the weeks that we do this Bible program on Sundays. People calling it, where does the Bible say? And of course, the title of this program is Let the Bible Speak, so that's our job to go and find out, where does the Bible say that? And so if you've heard something, and maybe you've heard it all your life, but you've never had somebody say a book of the Bible, a chapter of the Bible, or the verse of the Bible that says what they've been saying, then give us a call, and we will look together at the Scriptures and try to see whether or not the Bible really teaches that. One of the things that we hear oftentimes is accept Jesus as your personal Savior and pray the sinner's prayer. You know, where is that in the Bible? Well, that's a good question. And if you've got that question, give us a call, and we'll look together and see if we can find that in the Scriptures. Again, take the opportunity. Call 614-4161 to give us your Bible question, or you can text us at 725-9283. As we've talked about that Bible correspondence course, 553-5157. Take advantage of that opportunity even today at this very moment. Nick?
Yeah, there's a couple of passages that we've been able to locate talking a little bit about miscarriage. And what it seems, as far as I can tell, had to do when God was addressing his people specifically. For example, in Exodus, the 23rd chapter, he's very clear that what he was going to prevent a miscarriage, but it had everything to do with them obeying him. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 21, he says, "Beware of him and obey his voice and do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days." So certainly this sounds like, for as much as they would do what he said, then he was going to prevent miscarriage among, again, the Hebrews here in the book of Exodus. I don't know the application there, but certainly we see God having provided them a promise if they would obey. And we see something very similar in the book of Hosea chapter 9. And it's really the opposite. It's because they would not obey or would not do what God told them to do, specifically speaking of Ephraim, that God then says that essentially that he was going to prevent birth. He says in verse 11 of Hosea chapter 9, "As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, and no conception. He says, though they bring up their children, yet I will bereave them to the last man. And again, this is talking about, again, how God felt about Israel or Ephraim kind of departing from him. Verse 14, give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and a dry breast, the Lord said. And so it was here, this was God executing punishment upon Ephraim. There's nothing in the New Testament that suggests that God does that to those today or even in the church. But I want to try to share those passages with you. Again, that was Exodus chapter 23 and also Hosea, the ninth chapter. We have another question that came in. Says, and it goes back to an earlier point that was made. It says, come as you are. Is that talking about clothes? And so earlier I said that, you know, you hear the people say, you hear the saying, come as you are. And we just don't find it in the Bible. And that's the second part of this person's question. It says, where is that in the Bible? Well, that's not in the Bible. But you hear people say all the time, come as you are. And the way I've always taken that to mean is that God will love for you to come. Come. And that comes out of the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who thirsts, come. And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so that's the idea, that God's door is open to anyone. Anyone can come. But just remember, God don't want you in your sin. So that's why he's making a provision to cleanse you of your sins, to wipe away your sins. He don't want you to continue in sin, that grace may abound. Romans chapter 6, Paul asked that question. No, he wants us to turn away from sins, and he wants us to be changed. He wants to remake us. He wants to reform us into the image of his son, so that when people see us, they don't see us. They see Christ living in us. That's the intent. That's the motivation. And so, yes, we come. And it may be that I got some baggage, but I come to hear the word of God. I come to allow what he has to say to so fill my heart that I'm willing to change and to be different. And I'm willing to obey him. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And by keeping God's commandments, that whole process begins to change us. It makes us different. No longer my will, but thy will be done. That's the motivation. It's time for us to take another break. But even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your question. Again, the number that we're using today is not. It is not 308-9564. The 308 number is not working. We're encouraging all of our listeners to call in your question to 614-4161. That's 614-4161. Or you can text your question in to 725-9283. That's 725-9283. We're going to take a break. While we're at break, we want you to listen closely to this free Bible correspondence course that you can sign up for. We encourage you to take advantage of that. We'll be right back. Again, to sign up for our correspondence course, free Bible, this is a free Bible study course that you can do in the mail. That number again is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. To join in with our discussion here at the radio program, to call in your question, go ahead and call 614-4161. That's 614-4161. We'll do our best to let the Bible speak. If you prefer to text in your question, you can. That text line is 725-9283. That's 725-9283.
We have a question that's a very, very good one, a text question, and it asks, can sins be forgiven? And then the second part of that question is, well, how? Well, that's a great question. That should be the question that all of us are asking or have asked or whatever, because I tell you, Romans 3:23 is not good news. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, and the Lord's going to come back for those and judge those who do not know God and have not obeyed the gospel. That's not good news either. But here's the good news. The good news is that, yes, Jesus died once for all, that all may be forgiven of sin. In fact, as we look at how a person can receive that blessing, let's go to Acts chapter 2. There's all kinds of verses in Acts that we could go to. And I want to note several things from this one in Acts chapter 2. And the first thing I want to notice is and establish that these folks that Peter is speaking to here were guilty of sin. He says in verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." These people crucified Jesus. Now, that wouldn't be a good position to be in, would it? To know that you crucified Jesus. And as Peter goes on speaking more completely about the resurrection of Jesus, he draws his comments to a close in verse 36, where he concludes, and he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Oh, there it is again. They've heard twice now that they were guilty of crucifying the very Son of God, the very Messiah that they had been praying for and looking forward to from generations. And so they have taken this one who finally came, fulfilled the prophecies, and they killed him. And they realize the straits they are in. Verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, what were they asking, you think? Well, they'd just been convicted of crucifying the Messiah. He's now been made Lord and Christ. And they realize, oh, no, we're in the crosshairs of God's judgment because we have killed his Son. Now, what do we have to do to get forgiven of this? That's really what they want to know. And here's the answer. So for the person who asked, who texted that question in, listen carefully. Here is the answer to how to be forgiven of sin. Verse 38, Acts chapter 2. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Did you hear what he said to him? He said, "Repent and be baptized." For what reason? Well, for the remission of sins, for those sins to be taken away, specifically the sin that they were being convicted of, and that is the crucifying of Jesus. And so they were told to repent and be baptized. And so, well, if you, the person who asked that question, there is an answer that is fairly, I think, easy to understand. And they came and they asked that question, "What must I do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Let me give you another example as well to look at. That's a little more complete. Then you can kind of follow this step by step, and that's in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And you can begin reading about verse 27 and down through verse 38. This is the case of the Ethiopian eunuch who was being spoken to by Philip, and they saw some water, and they stopped and went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And so read that section as well, and that will be very, very helpful and informative to let you know exactly what you need to do. And if we can help you in any way with your obedience to the gospel, we would be more than happy to do that. So you can call us and leave a message, 553-5157, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we would be glad to talk with you about that further, because that is a wonderful, wonderful blessing to be able to have the forgiveness of sins. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have that. And if the people who crucified Jesus could get that, then who could not get that? So we invite you to do just that. Again, if you got a question, something similar to that or something totally different, we've already had a wide variety today of questions. Please call us at 614-4161, or you can text us at 725-9283. And please don't forget the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. And you can hear and read the words that can give you faith in God. Nick?
We have a text question coming in. The question is around this idea of cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that in the Bible? Well, when we take a look at the Bible, we don't see that. And so that's another one of those phrases that we've heard a lot of. And there's tons of phrases like that. You know, God bless, the child has his own. That's not in the Bible. You know, cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, that's not in the Bible. Now, come as you are, you know, that's not in the Bible. And so a lot of these phrases come from, you know, again, our parents, they taught us these things. These are things that we've heard. They sound good. And the unfortunate truth is we actually start to believe that the Bible must say these things because we've heard it so much. Concerning this idea of cleanliness is next to godliness, what we find in the Bible is something that really contradicts that. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, Jesus is explaining about his apostles or his disciples and why they ate and they didn't wash their hands. So there, you know, here you have the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're attacking Jesus. The Bible says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition?" And so their question had to do with the fact that the disciples would eat without washing their hands. Now, later we find in verse 18 that Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemers. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." So that seems to contradict this idea of cleanliness is next to godliness. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 614-4161. I believe we have a live caller standing by. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call live.
You're
I'm
welcome.
I'm not sure if this is a two-part question or if it's a mixed question or not, but this is what I want to know. God says he'll take revenge or he'll deal with your enemies for you not to deal with the enemies on your own. I just wanted to know where in the Bible can I get some inspiration or where it even talks about him dealing with your enemy. And then also, I don't know if this has anything to do with the question. I do remember the Assyrians was facing an issue, and they were being surrounded by an army, and they could not defeat this army. This army was just taking over all of the lands. And so I believe the king, he made a prayer, and the Lord sent a death angel. And that next morning when they woke up, they didn't even have to fight the battle. The battle had already been won. And I want to know where that's at in the Bible. And if I'm not asking too big of a question, whatever, please elaborate on that, and I'll just go off the air and listen.
Okay. Well, Robert, we sure appreciate you calling. I know you've called before, and we sure appreciate your good questions. And your first question about the idea that God does not want us to take vengeance, but rather God would take vengeance, this is something that he tells his people, right? So this is Paul in Romans, the 12th chapter, writing to the church there at Rome. And here's what God says in verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of men." So it's almost the idea, do not repay evil for evil, but instead, you have regard for good things in the sight of all men, he said. Yeah, that's even the one that would want to do us wrong. In verse 18, he says, "If it is possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath." So God says wrath has a place, and it is in our place. He goes on to say here, he says, but rather give place to vengeance, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, God says, you know, you feed him. If he's thirsty, well, you give him a drink. The Bible goes on to say, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. In verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And thus the motivation from God is for us always not to do what someone's doing to us. If they're doing us wrong, we don't turn around and do wrong. But rather, we do the right thing. We always do the right thing. We always overcome evil with good. I think we need to take a break. And when we come back from break, we'll answer part two of your question, Robert. Very good question. Deep, thought-provoking question. We sure appreciate it. So when we come back, we'll talk about that king. I think it was a king that had a prayer. So we'll talk about that when we come back from our break. For those of you who may be just joining us, you are listening to a live call-in radio broadcast called Let the Bible Speak. To call in your questions, go ahead and call 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161. Feel free to text us even at break. That text number is 725-9283. We'll be right back. Again, we want to make mention that our 308 number is not working today. So if you would just call 614-4161 to call in your questions, we would greatly appreciate it. Again, that number is 614-4161. Call in your question here at the station. I want to remind you again that there is a free Bible study that's waiting for you in your home. It's something that we send to you in the mail. If that is something that you're interested in signing up for, then go ahead and call 553-5157. That's 553-5157. You can also text in your questions today. Our text line is 725-9283. 725-9283.
We want to get back to Robert's question. He called in just a little bit ago, and he was live on the air, which is something that anybody can do. And so we appreciate Robert and his questions, and we appreciate particularly the thoughtfulness of the question and the biblical references that he is concerned with, and that's what this program is all about. What does the Bible speak? Now, let's let the Bible speak. That should be the end of the whole matter. The end of all argument is just what does God say? And that would be a thing that should still our hearts and satisfy our minds to know what the Bible says. Well, this question he had about, want to know where in the Bible it was where the king prayed and that God sent angels and destroyed the army of the Assyrians. Well, Robert, that is in 2 Kings chapter 19. The king is King Hezekiah, and he was one of the good kings of Judah who tried to get the nation of Judah back to faithfulness to God. And it's interesting because the Assyrians came to him, and like oftentimes the enemies of God do, they mock. Just like they did with Jesus when he was on the cross. And so they come, some of the messengers from the king of Syria come to the Israelites and said, you know, don't listen to what Hezekiah has to say, but he's going to lead you astray. And then Hezekiah prays. We read that in 2 Kings 19, verse 14. He took this letter from these people, from the Assyrian messengers, and then verse 15, he prayed before the Lord, and that is just a great prayer. If you're wanting to know how to pray to God more effectively, verses 15 and 16 really talk about the greatness of God and beseech the heart of God to answer and listen to our prayers. And then Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, and he says, in verse 20, he says, because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. And then verses 21 and following is the message of the Lord that came through Isaiah. And then down to the point that you particularly ask about, Robert, in verse 35 of 2 Kings 19, it says, and it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people rose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons Adrammelech and Shazeraz struck him down with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. And so, Robert, we appreciate so much your question. We hope that helps you in several different ways. And if we can help you find a Bible verse, if we can help you find a teaching of the Bible, if you just have a question of what does the Bible teach that you can pray the sinner's prayer? Does the Bible teach that women can be elders? I mean, whatever your question might be, the Bible has an answer for it. And so we invite you to take advantage of the opportunity set before you today that you can find your answers in the Scripture. We'll help you. And any questions that you ask, we, and really like this one here in 2 Kings 19, was good for us to search out. And so we appreciate so much the opportunity you afford us to expand our knowledge in the Scriptures. And that's the great thing about answering questions from the Bible. It helps both parties involved. And so we are grateful for that opportunity. Give us a call, 614-4161, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will be happy to speak with you and go to the Scriptures with you to see whether or not what the Bible does say.
We have another caller calling in today about elders. The question is, aren't elders supposed to, it says elders aren't supposed to lord over God's inheritance. Where is that at, and what does that mean? Very good question. So that comes out of 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, you have Peter, who was also an elder, he says in verse 1, giving instructions to elders. He starts off this way, 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, he gives instructions on how these elders were supposed to what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to behave. He says in verse 2, he tells the elders to shepherd the flock. Shepherd means literally to feed or to pastor the flock of God, which is among you. So they're only responsible for those sheep, if you will, that was among them. And notice that he says elders, plural. So this was not a singular role, that the local church had a plurality of elders. It had multiple elders. And again, their job was to shepherd the flock of God, which was among them. Now, notice what this next part, he says serving as overseers. Serving is the key word there. Their job was to serve. Overseeing is to take oversight. And then he says, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you or God's inheritance, as the question asked. He says, don't do that. And then he makes a contrast. He says, but being examples to the flock. And so the question that was asked, so what does it mean not being a lord over God's inheritance? Well, you know, you're not there trying to rule by might. You're not trying to rule. There's only one Lord over the church, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only head, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body. And thus, those who are in a pastor or elder role, their job is to oversee. Simply that, oversee. And he says their job is to do that by way of example. And so it's not do what I say, but do as I do. And thus they should be setting the example for God's people. You know, Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 1. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161. Again, that number is 614-4161. And we will let the Bible speak.
We appreciate your questions so far. We've got one from Thomas, and Thomas asks, is sprinkling water on the head baptism, like some churches call it? Well, when we go to the scriptures, we'll go to this one in Acts chapter 8 that we had referred to earlier, which gives a fairly full account of what one does from beginning to end in their conversion, in their redemption process, their forgiveness of sins. We start with preaching Jesus. That's what Philip did to the eunuch, and we find that particular verse in beginning verse 30. He's reading the prophet Isaiah, and Philip begins with that scripture, it says, and preaches to him Jesus. That's verse 35 of Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. They go down the road. You know, they're in the chariot, if you read earlier in the chapter, and they come to some water. And the eunuch stops Philip and said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now, here is a great opportunity to learn what baptism means in the New Testament. So if you got your Bibles open, and if you don't have your Bibles open, you have your ears open, and let's look at what happens here. Verse 37, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. That's a requirement to be baptized. Jesus sent the apostles out and said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And so Philip properly asked him, do you believe? And the eunuch answers, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So, verse 38, he commands the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So picture this in your mind as it's being read to us. They see water. He stops the chariot. They get out of the chariot. They go down into the water and come up out of the water. That doesn't sound like sprinkling water on the head, does it? But that is going down into the water. Now, also bear in mind this in Romans chapter 6, as baptism is referred to, oftentimes it's referred to metaphorically, because in this passage in Romans 6, it talks about being buried just like Jesus was buried and being raised just like Jesus was raised. And so in verse 4 of Romans chapter 6, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now, about all of us have been to one funeral or another, go to the graveside, and what do they do with the casket? They put it into the earth, don't they? And then they cover it up. That is, we are buried. We are immersed, is what the word in the Greek literally means. And so, Thomas, no, sprinkling was not done in the New Testament. In fact, it was an addition much later after the New Testament was completed. So it is a changing of the apostles' doctrine. And if we change the apostles' doctrine, it's a different gospel. It doesn't save. In fact, we've added to the Word of God, or we've taken something away from the Word of God, and we're not to do that either. So I hope, Thomas, that helps answer your question. Any other clarification you'd like on that, you can text us back again or call us again, and we'd be happy to elaborate on that as well. We are at a break now. This is our last break. You have one more opportunity to be encouraged about this Bible correspondence course and to sign up today. Please listen carefully, and we will see you in a minute. Once again, it's our honor and privilege to be here, and we feel blessed by God to be able to come to you on the air, and we appreciate so much your participation in this program by your questions. Again, this is Let the Bible Speak, and it is always, each week, it is a blessing and a great thrill for us to be able to study the Bible with you. That is such a great blessing, and we like to do that through the week as much as possible, And if you'd like to have a personal one-on-one Bible study with one of us, we would be more than delighted to do that. Just give us a call and leave a message, and we'd be glad to get back with you. We've got we just had our last break, so we've got about 10 to 12 minutes left, and we've got some questions on deck, and we were want to get to those as soon as we can, and so we're going to start with one of those right now. And if you've got a question, you still got some time. 614-4161 here at the station, 725-9283 if you'd like to text us, and we will let the Bible speak.
I'll just take a moment to encourage our listeners to, if you have not enrolled in our Bible Correspondence course, we want to at least focus a little bit of time on that. Again, that will be a help to you in your study of God's Word. There are many of you who have, you know, so there's probably over 1,000 or so people that's in the Bible Correspondence course in this area, in the Tri-County area, and outside that area. But let's focus on the individual. If you have not signed up for this course and you know that you would like to increase your understanding of God's Word and you want to study more, then we encourage you to take advantage of this free offering. It is absolutely free. We send it to you in the mail. It is something that you do at your own pace in your home. You open up your Bible. You study. And so it's not us telling you what the Bible says. So you get to go see it and read it for yourself. And then our encouragement always is to be a not just a hearer of the Word, but to be a doer of it. If this is something that you are interested in, we encourage you to go ahead and call 553-5157. Again, that number is 553-5157 to sign up for that course, and we will get that out in the mail to you. 553-5157. It is completely free of charge. We have a question, a text that came in. It says, what does it mean to repent? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when these folks heard the gospel for the first time, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of them. That word repent from the Greek literally means to have a total change of heart. And so an example of that might be in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where the Bible talks about this one that was a stealing. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. You see, you stop the activity. Then it says, but rather let him labor. So now he's going to get a job, working with his hand, what is good, that he might have something to give him that has need. So here's a person who used to steal from a person. Now he's going to stop that. Now he's going to get a job. He's going to work. Now as he finishes working, he's going to get his money, and now he has something good to give to the person that's need. Now that's a complete change in action, complete change of heart. And that's what repentance is a total change. I have to turn away from the sin that I was doing, whatever sin it is. So if I'm in fornication, I stop that fornication and I turn away from it. So I'm not going to go back to that type of relationship. And now I'm going to stay pure until I am married according to what the Bible teaches. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 614-4161.
We have a question from Sam here. Sam's a frequent caller, and he asks about a question in Isaiah 48. So if you got your Bibles handy and you want to be familiar with what that verse is, it's in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 18. It's one of the prophecies of Isaiah to the children of Israel. And a lot of those prophecies and teachings of the both major and minor prophets, Isaiah was a major prophet, meaning it's longer than the minor prophets. But a lot of what they had to say was calling Judah back to repentance, calling them back to God. And Nick had just talked about what repentance was and illustrated that and the necessity of that. You know, when we sin, we leave God. God doesn't go anywhere, and we need to come back to Him, and that's what repentance is. Well, in that passage in Isaiah 48, 18, here's what it says. God, through Isaiah, is saying, oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And Sam wants to know what that means, how to explain that. Well, like in a lot of prophecies that God sent to the children of Israel, he just kind of bemoans the fact that they had turned from him. Well, you know, what had God ever done against them that would cause them to turn? Well, that's the perverseness of human beings, that we get all these great blessings from God and we turn to false gods, which is what Judah had done and was doing as this passage was written concerning. So God pleads here with his people. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river. Think about a nice, smooth, easygoing river. Ricky painted a picture for us today about drifting down a river and how peaceful that is. You know, that's something we can relate to, that your peace would have been like a gentle flowing river. You think about Psalms 23. He leads me beside still waters. That picture of peace. And then it says, and your righteousness, like the waves of the sea. I'm not sure exactly what picture, why that metaphor would be used, comparing righteousness like the waves of the sea, but I'm thinking of a cleansing. I'm thinking of the power of the waves, that your righteousness would be powerful, that your righteousness it would come in waves of the sea. It would just be there all the time, that your righteousness would be made complete and it would be consistent. You know, God could do that. God can give us righteousness and in that kind of way, in a consistent type of manner. And so God is saying to Israel, sinful Israel, that he could have done that for them if they had just kept his commandments. That's a good reminder to us even today. That what blessings are we missing from God because we are not obeying God? And so as we think about that, think about what you can do in your life to be obedient to God, to have that kind of obedience that God is pleased with and God will bless. And so if you're frustrated in your spiritual life, then you're not getting the blessings you think you ought to be getting. Well, look at your life. And as Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves and see whether or not you be in the faith. Are you walking an obedient life? Are you living in sin and thinking that God ought to bless you? Are you living in fornication and thinking that God ought to bless you? Well, he's not going to do that if you are resisting his will in your life. And so we invite you to take a good hard look at yourself, as we all ought to, as Paul tells us we should do, to see whether or not we are walking in the faith. And so we invite you to call. A few moments left, 614-4161 here at the station, 725-9283 is the text.
We have a text coming in. It says, we have heard the biblical reasons for divorce. What about when someone marries and their intentions were not honorable? For example, scam artists, gold digging, ulterior motives. Are these considered real marriages? Well, when we look in the scripture, we don't find anything like that in the Bible. And so we try really hard to just speak where the Bible speaks. And then where there is nothing there, we try to be silent. Part of the challenge is this: when we get in the marriage, or when we go through the marriage ceremony, in many cases, we are making a vow to God. And that's both persons, whether they mean it or not. That really doesn't matter in God's eye when you make a vow to him. There's an interesting passage in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14 says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. The Bible seems to paint the picture that God is the witness. So this contractual agreement between husband and wife, God is the one that serves as a witness. And we say stuff like, you know, till death do us part, you know, in our marriage vows, and we call them vows. And it's the idea, I'm making this commitment to a person based upon what God has said. In Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter, verses 4-6, the Bible says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay it. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? And so I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I think the application there is good for all of us, that when we vow a thing to the Lord, we better pay it. I know that we're just about out of time, and there's one more text that came in, so we'll try to start the broadcast next week with that text question. We want to say thank you so much for your time and your good attention this afternoon. We do hope that the things that we've shared with you have been a help to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. Just remember, no matter what you hear from the preacher, from your mom, from your dad, from your friends at work, if it has to do with spiritual matters, we have to go to God's word for the answer. In short, we must let the Bible speak.